Today, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan by John, known as the Baptizer. It's okay, you can leave it. Like the people in the image shown, just there on the stand in the hall, in the aisleway there, it was a picture of a baptism that was held in the 1930s at a place called Clark's River, Fork River in Wyoming. And this is the way that I picture the scene that day when John, the last of the great prophets, and Jesus, the living God, that he proclaimed was near, actually met. This is, in fact, the one and the only time that it lists in the Bible that these two cousins physically met. Now, considering that John was famous for proclaiming such things as repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, and I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Spirit. We wonder about why Jesus felt a need to search John out at this time. In fact, when suddenly confronted by Jesus in the river that day, he asked, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? He only agreed to do it because Jesus told him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Afterwards, as Jesus was exiting the water, we are told that the heavens were opened to him and that the Spirit of God descended down, landing on him in the form of a dove. For those members of St. George on Young that were members back when it was St. George's Willowdale, you might remember that behind the pulpit on the wall, there was actually the image of a dove descending down from the sky. Well, a bird, the dove, has long been associated with love. And then all heard a loud voice from heaven proclaiming, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus is baptized by John, dutifully accepting his repentance. Hey, well, wait a minute. Why did Jesus say that he needed to be baptized by John? What could Jesus have been repenting for? And even further to that, did John now change his call to the Jewish people along the river that he met, saying, now repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here? As a matter of fact, he just went over the hill. No, we know for a fact that he didn't actually do that. And in order to answer these questions, we can perhaps look at some of the following verses in Matthew and in the act of baptism itself. We need, though, to read these scriptures remembering that Jesus, unlike us, was actually a dual citizen. Yes, he was God, pure and free from sin in every way, but he was also a man. Jesus was two in one, fully God while at the same time being fully human, just like you and me. How do we know that Jesus was fully human and lived a normal life, presumably, up until that time of his baptism? Well, one clue could be that John, when he was locked away in prison later in the gospel, sent his followers actually to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? See, even John wasn't sure, right up until the end, if Jesus was actually the person that he had been proclaiming. Later in Matthew's gospel, he tells the story of when Jesus himself returned to Nazareth, the town where he grew up, and lived most of his life. What was the people's reaction in that town when he got there? They were astounded, stating things like, where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother, called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters still with us here? These people had known Jesus, and they could not understand what had changed in him. They saw, though, that he had been changed, that he was different, and that he was not the same person whom they watched growing up. When Jesus came to John at the River Jordan, he had not yet started his ministry. In fact, there is nothing actually stated in his life in the Bible up until this time, approximately 30 years, they estimate, other than that one time when he was left behind, forgotten about by Mary and Joseph at the temple. He had no followers at this point. He had performed no miracles and was presumably just wandering alone through the countryside, having left his family behind in Nazareth. And according to Matthew, Jesus began his ministry himself several months later, after spending 40 days alone in the desert, and after John himself had been arrested. In fact, it seemed almost as if his early ministry was to be a continuation of John's, with Jesus taking up his own call of repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The connecting event that ties everything together, though, still appears to be that baptism in the river. So what is the meaning of baptism? One source states that it is an act of obedience, symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior, the believer's death to sin, the burial of an old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to the believer's faith in the final resurrection of the dead. It can be described as an immersion in water for purification and as a sign of God's love. Modern baptisms take place generally, unlike the image shown in that picture, at a font in a church. And it's usually done when the individual is a baby. It's often the choice of the parents and not the individuals themselves. That is how I myself came to be baptized at St. Stephen on the Mount in Hamilton as an infant. I was brought to the church by my parents, and at the time, they answered for me. And another example of infant baptism, even more extreme, is that of my brother-in-law. Ivan was born in Belgium, and he was born at a hospital that was run by the Roman Catholic Church. And as a baby, his parents were shocked to find out that they could not take the baby home from the hospital after he had been born until after he had been physically baptized. So he was baptized as a Roman Catholic in order to get him out of the hospital. And we here at St. George's even have several members who chose to be baptized as adults, like some of the people shown in that photo. Baptism itself is a time for change, for actively taking part in Christian mission, such as spreading the gospel or the good news of Christ and therefore God. I can remember back to a cottage next door to my best friend's parents. If you know where it is, up on Eels Lake, south of Bancroft, years ago. It was the summer home that had been inherited by a bunch of 1960s hippies and admitted drug addicts, who promptly renamed their property the Chapel in the Pines. And they welcomed everyone to come and join them every week. Each Sunday morning, they would sit on the beach and sing songs by people such as Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, the New Christy Minstrels, and the Kingston Trio, if you're old enough to remember these people. They would all then walk out into the water, just like the people that are shown in that picture, and one by one, they would baptize each other. That was always followed by a barbecue that was shared by all. Now they, through their newfound beliefs, changed, and they shared God's love and compassion with anyone that wanted to come near. They were not in a church, as we would think of it, and they did not worship as we would. And while they may not have made much of a difference in other people's lives, having seen what they were like before, I can certainly tell you that they certainly changed and it made a difference in their lives. So Jesus came to that river to be baptized. He accepted a baptism of repentance and therefore removed any and all of the results of his being human, thereby preparing himself for the ministry that he was about to embark on. He received the Holy Spirit to assist him with what the scriptures required, and at the same time publicly received both acknowledgement and unconditional love from God, as so declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved." I can remember myself, if any of you can think back to being told by someone that they love you, that they truly adore you, much like a parent would do with their child. I can think back to about 42 years ago, and I embarrassed my wife at the 8 o'clock service when I mentioned about 42 years ago sitting in a Woolworths cafeteria section in a store at Cedar Bray Plaza, sitting there having a coffee with her when suddenly she blurted out, "I love you." I don't think she realized that 42 years later I would still be able to remember and treasure that in my heart. Can you imagine what Jesus felt like with God telling him how much he personally loved him? By submitting to baptism, Jesus also opened for us the opportunity to join with him when baptized, to receive the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, and to share in God's love. Jesus changed his life and mission that day in the River Jordan, and I suggest that you too, as well as myself, were changed by the baptism that we received. Jesus gave us the gift of God's help and love. Jesus gave us a mission in life. Jesus, in fact, gave us a job to do. We know how Jesus responded. Now we have to decide how we will respond. In closing, I'd like to point out that St. George on Young has always, since 1922, had a font. From the current font that sits here in the sanctuary to the stone font out there in the garden that my boys were baptized in, and I'm sure a number of the people here probably had children or themselves baptized at, to the original small wooden font that sits downstairs in the hallway just outside the main hall where we hold coffee hour. So I invite each of you to go to the current font before you leave or when you have a chance at some point in time. And remembering that baptism is a time for both change and of love, take a little bit of the water and make a small cross on your forehead while saying something possibly like this to yourself: "Thank you, Lord, for your support and for your unending and immeasurable love. Give me the courage to act and the will to do what you command."